Scripture reading will be from Matthew chapter 5. If you'd be turning to Matthew chapter 5. The lesson this morning is entitled, What Would Jesus Say to Our Kids Who Are Going Back to School? And much of what we'll be referencing will be taken from this chapter. So we're going to begin by reading most of Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 3. These are the words of Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. Verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So this is a really important time of year for us at Northwood. I've counted it up before. And from college age down, it is a full two-thirds of the total number here on any given Sunday. About 40 of our number is under the age of 18. Another 40 is from 18 to 22, give or take, a few years. And then the rest of us is about 40. So you take out those who are in school and younger, and there's not many of us. So this is a major part of our work, our young people. And so we want to give attention to our kids as they go back to school. I've done this before in different ways, and it's a little awkward for the kids, I know, so I'm not going to ask you to come up front. But if you are a college-age student or down, going to school right now or about to go to school, would you please stand up? And the college kids, please stand up first so everyone else will feel comfortable. Yes, go ahead and stand. And if you moms want to help the little ones, you can stand up with them. Okay, so these are our young people. Go ahead, Hayden, stand up. There we go. So these are our young people. Now, if you see a young person here that you would be willing to give your life for them, would you please stand up with them? So I want you kids to see the support that you have here in the church. You can be seated. We're going to have a prayer service this Saturday. The ladies are going to get together at 10 at our house, and the men are going to get together at the lake at 8 o'clock. And we're going to do nothing but pray for each one of you by name. We've got at least three college students, incoming freshmen, that are here with us, and we want you to know that we've already been praying for you, some of you specifically by name. And we will continue to pray for you throughout the year. We're here for you. This is your family. And we don't want you to ever feel like you're alone at school. You're never alone when you have God with you. But you also have a big family here that loves you and cares for you. And so, it is to this end that I thought about what to preach this Sunday morning, the back-to-school lesson. And it occurred to me, there's a lot that Jesus would have to say to every one of you. And he just said it. We just read the unfiltered words of Jesus. These are his instructions to you as you go off to school. And I hope that these words will stick with you. Whatever commentary and interpretation I give to them is less important than the words that were just spoken from Jesus himself. But Jesus is very concerned about children, young people. He had a very natural affinity, saying things like, you have to be converted and become like children to enter the kingdom. Children are less polluted and they're less marred and scarred by the world. They're a little closer to what the original was intended to be, made in the image of God. And so Jesus cares very much about children. We'll have more to say about that at the end. But what would Jesus say? Well, I've just read a portion of Matthew chapter 5, and I read the whole Sermon on the Mount, just thinking about how would this specifically apply to a young person going off to school. And there's seven statements taken from this sermon that I've pulled out, and I want you to think about as you are back to school now or preparing to go back to school. The first thing we gain from the Beatitudes, there in verses 3 through 10. I think what Jesus would be saying to you as you go back to school is that character is much more important than being popular. That's one thing that I remember from school, particularly in middle school. In elementary school, things were a little more simple, at least from my memory. Everybody was friends with everybody, it seemed like, in elementary school. But then in middle school, there was all of a sudden this division that was better felt than told between the cool kids and the rest of us. And I was part of the rest of us. I was certainly not one of the ones on the in crowd. And I think what Jesus would say to you as you go to school is don't be concerned about all of that. Don't be concerned about how people see you, the kind of clothes that you wear, how expensive your dress is, the kind of car that your mom is driving you to school in. Don't be concerned about what other kids might think about you when you don't do certain things that they do. Be much more concerned about who you are on the inside. Look at this list. What I want you to notice about this list is that this is not a coolness list by any stretch of the word. Poor in spirit, those who mourn and mourn over sin, sensitive to those things that are wrong. Meek, not the in your face, I'm going to be the head and you're going to follow what I say kind of person. Those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, concerned about spiritual things. Merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, and persecuted. Or you could say those who are picked on at school for doing what's right. That would be a paraphrase of what he's saying. No, these are not the cool kids that he's describing. These are the outcasts. These are the losers. These are the rejects. And Jesus would say to you, if you find yourself in this group, especially this last one, and you're excluded and you're made fun of and people talk about you behind your back and they say all kinds of false things because you are doing what's right, you are blessed. Because you're accepted by the only one whose opinion matters. And you're loved by him. That's what Jesus would say to you. So don't be so concerned about being cool. Be concerned about your character. Do what's right and God will make you blessed. Another thing he would say, very simply, what he says in verses 13 through 16, is you need to be light and you need to be salt. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus said. And he's talking to those who are described by those characteristics in verses 3 through 10. If we have these characteristics, then we are by definition salt. And salt in ancient times was used to preserve things. And I think that the righteous, and we see this in many examples in Scripture, preserve the world. And they preserve the world because they are distinct from the world. They're different. Salt has a saltiness. But salt loses its saltiness when it becomes mixed with other things, when it becomes sandy, when it gets mixed with impurities. And so Jesus is saying, you need to be distinct. You need to be different if you're going to be this salt. And he says, you need to be light. You need to stand out. Do not be conformed to this world. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. If you are living a distinct life, following Jesus, doing what he says, you're going to be different. I love what Isaiah says about this, or God speaking through Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, Isaiah 16, verse 1. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Now I know that's big, and that seems expansive, and much bigger than you. But understand, he is talking about you. You are the very one he's talking about. And the darkness that he's describing is what you see all around you at school. And so Paul says in Ephesians 5 and verse 8, walk as children of light. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Shine as lights in the world, Philippians 2 and verse 15. You're living in a crooked and perverse generation and growing more crooked and more perverse by the day. The darkness is getting darker, but that means that your light shines even brighter. So be a light. Be salt at school. Another thing Jesus would say, and this is kind of taken from these two sections on anger and on lust in Matthew 5, I think Jesus would have a few things to say about social media. I remember when we first moved to Tuscaloosa and were taking Katie to Rock Quarry, the middle school there near us, the guidance counselor got up and for 10 whole minutes, she did nothing but talk about social media. In fact, she was so bold as to say, there is no reason why your kids need a cell phone at all. And the reason why she was saying that is very practical, because I'm sure that much of her day, day in, day out, is dealing with all the mess that comes from immature kids that don't know how to handle this technology, who get into a lot of trouble. And there's basically two areas where this manifests itself, and Jesus addresses both of them. Jesus says, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. So as long as you don't kill someone, you're okay, was the spin that was being put on that commandment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother, and there's a lot of anger on social media, whoever insults his brother will be liable to counsel, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So I think Jesus would say, you need to be very careful about what you say and what you think. And if you are of such an age that it is a temptation for you because of insecurities that you feel to respond in immature ways to things that are texted to you, to things you see on Facebook or social media of any kind, then maybe it'd be best just to get off of it. Maybe it'd be best to interact with people in a different way, face to face. Bullying used to be confined to the schoolyard during school hours. But now bullying is 24/7 for young people. It is an epidemic. And it's no longer confined to just the kids who are around at that particular time that hear what someone said. It now can be retweeted and reshared and spread abroad, and everyone will know and everyone will take sides. It is madness. And Jesus would say, be very careful with that. Jesus would also have something to say. I left this chart out. He would also have something to say about lust. Verse 27, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And he proceeds to say something about chopping off hands and eyes, which of course he doesn't mean literally. He's saying, do whatever it takes to eliminate lust. And so I would just plead with you as a young person going to school, if there is ever anything sent to your phone that makes you feel uncomfortable, show your parents. The fact of the matter is, many of us as parents feel overwhelmed by all this technology ourselves. We're not quite sure what the rules are, what even the questions are. And the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of things that they do know about you and your schooling life, but there's a lot of things that they don't know about you and your schooling life because they didn't have a phone when they were in middle school. And so they don't know what it's like. And so you let them know. You show them that mean text. You show them that picture that was messaged to you. Let them know. Now understand that they may take some drastic measures, but be thankful for that. Be thankful for that. But be so careful because the devil can come at you in so many different ways. I believe Jesus would have some very straight words and straight things to say to you as a young person about the use of social media and technology. Another thing that he would say, understanding that there are many commitments that you have as a young person when you go to school, is to always keep your word. It's a somewhat confusing section here in that there are some prohibitions given about swearing, and there's a context to all of that that we're not going to get into. But what is unmistakable is what Jesus says at the end about your word. He says, let your yes be yes and your no be no, which is to say, if you say you're going to do something, do it. Just do it. And if you say you're not going to do something, then don't do it. Anything more than that is evil. And there are so many opportunities for you to let your light shine in this regard. Listen, you do your homework not just to get a good grade. You do your homework as an expression of your character. If the assignment says it is due on Friday, then you turn it in on Friday because you have said, I'm going to do it implicitly. Do what you say you're going to do. And Jesus will go on to say, in Luke 16 and in other places, by principle, if you are not faithful in what is least, who will commit to you true riches? You need to be someone who develops the habits and the character early in life that you do what you say you're going to do. There's a lot of us who as adults are still learning to do that because we didn't learn to do that when we were young. And so do everything you're told to do. This isn't about grades. This isn't about advancing in the eyes of your teachers and impressing them. This isn't even about pleasing your parents. Don't let it be so with you that your parents have to constantly nag you to get your assignments done. If you say you're going to do it. And just get it done. And keep your word. That's what I think Jesus would be saying to you. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. I think he would have something to say about bullies. And we know that this is an age where bullies can be particularly mean. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But Jesus seems to be addressing bullies specifically when he gives these instructions about someone who would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Or someone who would force you to go 1 mile. Understand that in the first century, the biggest bullies on the block were the Romans. And they'd say, pick that up and carry it. And you had to carry it, even though you hated them, despised them, and felt used and abused, an abuse of authority. Who are you to tell me to carry that 1 mile? Jesus said, go with them too. Now, that's not to say that we always give in any circumstance to bullies. I believe that these instructions are nuanced, just like other instructions Jesus gave. Jesus wasn't saying literally to tear out your eye and cut off your hand. But understand the principle here. Jesus didn't give in to bullies. The spiritual bullies of Jesus' day were the Pharisees. And Jesus stood up to them. And there's a time where you need to stand up to a bully, but understand how it is to be done. And for what reason? Ultimately, the bullies killed Jesus. And Jesus demonstrated how to respond. Even praying for them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so be careful about your attitude toward the bullies. And understand that a lot of bullies are that way for a reason. If you were to go home with some of those bullies, you might find out some of those reasons. And you might look on them in a different way. And you might be surprised if you do share with them and show kindness toward them and show a different attitude than everybody else in school. You may find out that there's more to those bullies than meets the eye. And so, be kind to the bullies. Moving on to chapter 6, I believe Jesus would say you need to work hard at school. Do your assignments, do everything you're told to do, but never at the expense of the kingdom of God. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And in the context here, he's not talking about school. He's talking about even more basic things like what you eat and what you wear. Jesus said, even when it comes to these basic necessities of life, what could be more fundamental than those things? Don't worry. You put God first and God will take care of everything else because He is a Father who loves you, who knows what you have need of before you even ask. The Gentiles seek after all these things. They're the ones who live in nervous, upset over what's going to happen because they just don't know. They just don't know. They don't have the assurances that we have. No, Jesus would say, do your very best. Work hard at school. Keep your assignments. Keep your word. Go the extra mile. Do all of these things. but in the end, make sure that they're being done for the right reasons and that they all fit in. I don't think Jesus would compartmentalize things the way we often do, and this is part of school and this is part of church and these, you know, pie, you know, slices have to all be balanced and equal. No, that's not the way Jesus saw the world. All of it was a single whole. When you go to school, you're going as a servant of God. You're a disciple of Jesus Christ when you do your homework. It's not a separate part from your spiritual life. However, we can allow that schoolwork to become our God, and it can become our idol, to where we're not doing this for the Lord, but we're really doing this for ourselves, either because we want to make a lot of money someday or we want to make a name for ourselves. Jesus would say to us, make sure you're putting the kingdom of God first in everything. And so then there's no question about what should be done and why. And then finally, I think Jesus would want to reassure you as a young person to know that you're not alone. That as scary as school can be, and I know school may seem very scary to some of you, especially those of you who are coming here to the University of Alabama with 30-something thousand students and you're away from home, that's a scary thing. I understand. And some of you are starting middle school this year and high school, kindergarten. Understand it's much more scary for your parents than for you. But Jesus would say, whatever comes at you this year, don't forget that all you have to do is ask. What did Jesus say at the end of this sermon? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. He's there with you. And He wants you to succeed. He wants you to do well. And He will never leave you nor forsake you. You may feel at times like everyone else has, including your parents, including us, that we're not there for you when you need us. But understand there's one person that will always be right there with you, no matter what may happen, right at your side. Well, that's what I believe Jesus would say to our young people. But I want to speak to the rest of us for just a moment. I don't know if you read the back of the bulletin, but I changed up the family devo for this week. There was a friend of mine on Facebook that she shared a quotation that really affected her as a school teacher. She just started teaching back at her school last week. And as motivation to herself and others, she shared this quote that I want to read to you. I want you to think about as we, as parents, as Bible class teachers, as mentors who have an influence on all of these young people, I want you to hear what this person is saying. We are children only once, and then only for a few brief years. But these are the most impressionable years of a lifetime. Never again will the world and everything in it be so eternally new, so filled with wonder. Never again will physical, mental, spiritual growth be so natural and unavoidable. During these years, habits become ingrained, tastes are developed, personality takes form. The child's whole being is geared toward learning. He instinctively reaches out for truth and, having no prejudices, seizes upon that which is good, just, and beautiful. For these reasons, a child deserves what Walter de la Mare has called only the rarest kind of best. I was thinking this morning in Bible class, we had kind of a small class this morning, I was thinking about in our Bible class about something that Patrick Davis said at Joanne Haley's funeral. There was a time over in the old building where he was the only kid in Bible class in his age. And Joanne taught him the Bible. And she worked hard. She prepared. She She did extra work to make sure that he understood the Word of God, even though he was the only one in class. Do you think that investment was worth it? Do you think that her attitude that she give him only the rarest kind of best, because she has there sitting at her feet a young man made in the image of God? I think our kids deserve only the rarest kind of best. So let's all of us, not just us as parents, especially those of us who are going to be teaching this year, we're going to be laying out our plans for the year, the end of the month, Bible classes. Matthew Oliver is going to be putting up a list for volunteers. But even beyond the Bible class teachers, let's think about how all of us interact with and can influence all of these young people, because this is the most critical time in their life where these habits are being formed, these perspectives and values are being ingrained in them that will pay off eternal dividends. And so let's invest ourselves into the lives of our kids and be thankful for them. Will you pray with me, please? Father God, we know that you love every single one of our young people here more than we could possibly understand. And we love them too. And we pray for them. We pray for them as they enter in school. Many of them already been in school for a week now. And at every level, from college age to high school to junior high, grade school, even preschool, we pray for all of these kids that you will shepherd their hearts, that you will guard them from evil, that you help them to make wise choices, that you will help them to be disciplined, to do their work, to shine their light in every way. Help them to be salt and light, to be distinct and different. And help us as their parents, as their teachers and mentors to help them, to aid them, to encourage them, to rebuke them when necessary, but to always be there for them whenever they need us. And help us to remember the words of our Lord who said, whoever receives one of these children, these little ones in my name, receives me. We're thankful for the Joanne Haleys of this church who have demonstrated that in their lives. And so, Father, we pray that you'd be with our kids and help us as we encourage them. In Jesus' name, amen. And so that's the lesson, and I hope that we'll have a great year. I believe we are going to have a great year this year. Maybe that there's someone here who needs to respond to the gospel, that you realize that you are lost and you need to come to the Lord in faith, repentance, and baptism, or you need to just come back. If there's something that we can do to help you, to encourage you, to walk with the Lord, to be baptized this morning, we'd be glad to assist you as together we stand and sing.